Muon communication technology, manifestation, time and the universe. First part. Hello, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. I am Marie. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of September 1st, 2025. A constant problem I face while I write is that I am a bridge between two worlds, the matrix on Earth and everything that happens above, outside the planet, and those two worlds don't get along because the belief system of the one on Earth does not even start to accept the reality above, and the one above is also stuck with misconceptions and false assumptions about the one on Earth, so I end up fighting on two fronts doing my best to awaken both sides. Furthermore, there is a bad language problem which cannot be easily seen by either side, especially the one on Earth, because to pass on my information to you, and be understood, I must write in English. And this causes certain parts of my audience to assume that I am only human and only making believe that I am off planet. Because I sound too human or whatever. But if I didn't write in a human language, English, then no one would understand me, but this means that I use words and terminology that are human, and the meaning of those words may not always be appropriate, especially when talking about scientific subjects. This is the case with the word muon, as a contraction of lepton muon neutrino. The word muon, as in muon communication, assumes that the transmissions are done in muons, but that is the word the Tejitans started to use online to refer to faster-than-light communication technology. But where I am at, I have no way to fully corroborate if what is being used are really muons, because if it had been me who had defined that communication system first, I would have simply described it as a communication system that used coded gravity pulses. But even in that case, things are not so simple, because the system itself, technologically speaking, uses a likeness of a nano-sized cyclotron to generate a particle that turns into a wave of gravity that is of such a high frequency that it moves through the ethers and not through the material world realm. In other words, the machine codes waves of gravity which move through hyperspace with no acceleration or deceleration times. Therefore, they are instantaneous as they work outside time and space. The transmitter's nanocyclotrons, which are more or less another name for a particle accelerator, cause a small gravity disturbance in the field of potential energy, and that disturbance can be coded using any computer language, including digital binary pulses. And the particle that causes the disturbance in gravity at a particular and detectable frequency inside the transmitter's nanocyclotrons is what in English is called a neutrino. Yet, as I described above, I cannot vouch for the exactitude of the words, lepton muon neutrino, as it is understood by human science on Earth, meaning that it is at least the best terminology I can use to be understood while writing in English. When gravity is left alone in the field of potential energy that surrounds us all, it is a wave, but when gravity is closely observed by someone with a consciousness and a strong creative connection to the greater source, then it becomes a particle. Exactly as happens with light, which is both a wave and a particle, depending on whether it is being observed or not. In the case of gravity, when it is being observed, it becomes a particle, and this is the most basic description of how material things are manifested, as everything is potential energy before being concentrated into a particle, which will stick to another to form a complex object, depending on the strength and consistency of the observer. And that field of potential energy is made up of gravity, which behaves like a fluid with the potential to become anything and everything. And that field of potential energy is nothing other than dispersed, non-focused consciousness. Now, going into the practical applications of coded gravity transmissions, as I would call the system, it does not need any time to get to its destination. It is instantaneous, and even when it can be coded into set reusable frequencies of gravity, as would be the case with radio and microwaves, it does not need to be focused at an objective, as the coded gravity transmission is either everywhere at once, or not at all. Therefore, it can be coded to pass a message, where the receiver can decode it, if using a compatible system, regardless of its position in the known universe. The receiving unit detects the gravity pulses using a series of nano-interferometers, again using not corroborated human terminology. Even with this impressive capacity of the entire system and its super-long-range capacity, the coded gravity transmission does end up fading after a very great distance, and I am talking about several millions of light years, because a light year is a measurement for distance, not for time. This same phenomenon also happens with light, as it gets tired, turning from white and other frequencies towards the red spectrum with distance, because space is not empty, as it is a fluid, as I described above, and therefore it creates resistance. This shift in the spectrum of light is vastly misinterpreted by at least most scientists on Earth, as they wrongly conclude that the universe is expanding based on the reddish wavelength of the light being emitted by the objects they are observing and which are very far away, as in a light-based Doppler effect. Advanced stellar races do not accept the concept of the universe expanding, as they are fully conscious of the existence of the potential energy in a field, which may also be called ether, which is what is causing the reddish tint of the light that is emitted by faraway objects, and not any movement-based Doppler-like effect. Advanced stellar races do not accept the concept of the universe expanding because expansion means there must be a time unit and a velocity, and time is known by all those stellar races to be a variable, not a constant, which means that each observer with a consciousness has his or her or its own perception of it. For example, they all have a variable perception of the duration of any time unit, such as a minute or a second. This means that there is no base for setting an expansion velocity, as each observer will interpret the timing data in their own manner. For large stellar objects, movement and time hold no meaning. Therefore, they are not expanding, or only in an illusory manner for those who choose to see the universe through that lens, for example, as most scientists do on Earth, as that is their reality, but it is not a universal one valid for all. This also means that the universe has no beginning, as described by the Big Bang theory on Earth, which in reality is based on religious dogmas, as in the act of creation of Yahweh, and not on pure science, much less as it is interpreted outside Earth. As you can see, religion and its manipulation agenda dominate science on Earth, especially when talking about universal creation, as they are stealthily implanting religious creation by an almighty God, as dogma, into the base of science itself, all this on Earth. This will be all for today. I will continue exactly from this point in the second part of this subject in the very next video. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend, Marie.